Just like to say once again this morning, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. We thank God for your presence this morning. We thank God for the visitors, those who are visiting here along with us. We want you to know that you're always welcome to the house of the Lord here. If anything that we can do to make your stay more pleasant, please let us know. Brother Dennis asked for some announcement. I forgot to mention that on next week, the congregation at Hernando is hosting a gospel meeting there. I believe Brother Alan Bailey will be there from the 8th through that weekend hosting that gospel meeting. Forgot to mention that to Brother Dennis this morning. Just like to say once again this morning, we are here to study God's word. And I believe in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 in verses 11, Peter says that if any man speak, let him speak as the articles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability that God give it. That God in all things through Jesus Christ may be glorified and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so this morning, that's what I hope to do this morning, is speak a few words to you from the articles of God. We're here to worship the Lord because He is worthy of all of our might, all of our strength, and all of our souls. And that's why this morning that we are taught from the Bible that we are not to worship things, nor object, or people, because they are not worthy. Revelation said, thou art worthy. God is worthy this morning. We have this lesson this morning coming from the book of Genesis. And my subject will be the divine connection this morning. As we all know, brothers and sisters and friends, that there are a lot of connections in this world. We have like the social connection. We have the internet connection. We have the Delta connection. And some of you all may remember the Love connection. Used to be on TV years ago. We got all these type of connection, business connection. But what we want to talk about this morning is the divine connection. And this is a connection that we don't want to miss while we journey through this life. If we miss this connection and we die outside of Christ, this divine connection, let us realize that we are headed to a devil's hell on a one-way ticket, and there is no coming back. So one of the most important connections in this life for all of us to make is this divine connection. We don't want to miss this one. I remember years ago, and Sandra told me to stop using her name in my sermons, but years ago, I was flying from Fort Lauderdale to Jackson, Mississippi on the Delta connection. And I had to go through Dallas to make that connection. And so I flew into Dallas, and I can read. On the marquee, it says that Jackson, Mississippi, gate 32. And I walked up to that gate to make my connection. I had a little time on my hand, so I said, let me call Sandra and talk to her until my flight get ready. And as I was talking to Sandra, the lady came on the intercom. She said, now we'll start to board at gate 32. And what they had done, they had changed the connection and they didn't announce it. And so I said, Sandra, I got to run. They just called for my gate. So I walk up to the flight attendant. I give her my ticket. She welcomed me aboard Delta. 32, I sat on that plane seat, and I was going to Jackson, Mississippi now. I ended up in California. They changed the gate and they didn't tell me, and I had the wrong connection. But I was able to correct that the next day because they put me up in California overnight, and I had to fly back to Dallas again and catch that connection going to Jackson, Mississippi. I was able to correct that. But if we miss this divine connection and we die on the outside of Christ, there is no correction. It's permanent. It is eternal. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is this divine connection this morning. And so this morning, I won't read through these passages of scripture. I just want to know this morning, we'll be coming from the book of Genesis, starting with chapter 28, verses 10 through 17. But before that, we go any further this morning, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to be able to pray to the Father, and not only just to pray, but to have the assurance that God hears our prayers, that our prayers reaches all the way up into heaven where He is. So this morning, let us humble ourselves and petition the throne of God. This morning, I will be teaching from the King James Version. So if you have another Bible this morning, it may not read the way this one read. I just happen to like the thee and the thou. So that's why I stay with the old King James Version. You know, I thought this was a rugged Bible that I had until I attended the funeral service of Sister Tate. And Brother Larry had her Bible on display. And that Bible looked like he had gone through about two wars. You know, she showed us that this Bible is to be used. And I just stared at that Bible. It was in bad shape, sisters and brothers. But there was her Bible. And so this morning, as we study from the Bible, the book of God, the Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that every word of God is pure. And He's a shield to them that put their trust in Him. So add not to His word, lest He reprove thee, and you be found a liar. In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without void? The Bible says, nay. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So anytime anyone says anything that's differently than what is written in this book, regardless how charismatic this person may be, they're lying. Because the word of God is true. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in verse 8, Isaiah says that the grass withered and the flower faded, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the word of God. In these passages of scripture, I want us to just to have a little synopsis of what happened prior to the reading of these passages of scriptures. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, in verse 10, Jacob has just stolen his brother Esau's birthright. And when he stole his brother's birthright, Esau became angry and said that he was going to kill his brother. So his father, Isaac and Rachel, decided to get him to leave until his brother cooled down. And so Jacob left immediately. And now he's on the run. And he becomes tired. As the night falls, he was looking for a place to rest his head. And he had a dream. And that's what I want to just to start on this passage of scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 28. And we'll see what happened here. Genesis chapter 28 in verse 10, the Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." And the Bible says in verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth," set up on the earth. Notice something about this ladder. The Bible says, "And the top of it reached to heaven." He had a dream about this ladder that had set upon the earth. And that's not all about this ladder. The Bible says that the top of it reached to heaven. And that's not all. The Bible says in verse 12, "Say, and behold, the angel of God ascending and descending upon it." And that's still not all that was going on this ladder. Verse 13 said, "Behold, the Lord stood above it." And so Jacob said the Lord stood above this ladder that set upon the earth. And we can look at this morning, brothers and sisters and friends. This is the divine connection that God is making and revealing to us on earth. Notice something here. Jacob says in verse 13, says that, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Verse 15 says, "And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Now, back in those days, people that served idol gods, the idol god would protect them as long as they were in the territory where they were. If they left that territory, the idol god couldn't protect them. But notice what God said. God said, when we trust him, wherever we go, he will be with us. Who wouldn't serve a god like this? Teaches us that wherever we go, wherever we are, he's there to protect us. I want to just notice something else in these passages of scriptures. Notice what the Bible teach in verse 16. Say, and Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." He said, "And I knew it not." He said, and I was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob spoke about that gate. The right gate that we have to be in if we want to get from earth to where God is. I'm quite sure that you've heard people say, well, you know, the church doesn't save you. Just being in the church doesn't save you. Well, look at it in this way. I know for a fact that if I want to go to heaven, I have to be in the right gate. Just like I wanted to go to Jackson, Mississippi, just because the gate says Jackson, Mississippi, if I walked through that gate, it didn't mean that I was in Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah, I was in the right gate, but something else had to take place. I had to go through the right gate, and I had to get on that airplane that was flying to Jackson, Mississippi. If we want to go to heaven, we have to be in the right gate. And the church, the true church of Christ, is the right gate. We have to be in the right gate in order for us to be able to have the hope of one day of going to heaven where God is. We have to enter in into that right gate. And we have to stay in that right gate. We have to die in Christ. When we leave here, we can't die outside of Christ and expect to go to heaven. We all have to die in Christ. For that's who God's going to raise up to eternal life, those that have died in Christ. And so as we look at this divine connection this morning, the Bible teaches us something else. I want us to look at the book of St. John. Come with me and we'll read the book of St. John, chapter 1. And we'll look at something there concerning the divine connection. St. John, chapter 1. I want to start at verse 47 and read those two passages of scriptures. Notice what John says. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? In other words, when did you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, behold, that Philip called thee, and when thou was under the fig tree, Jesus says, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And verse 50, the Bible teaches that Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than thee. In verse 51, the Bible says, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know, that's what Jacob saw in the book of Genesis. Those angels ascending up that ladder and descending down that ladder. This divine connection coming to earth to help us. This is the connection that we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss this connection. I want us to notice something. I want us to underline in that last sentence of that verse, the Son of Man. He says that the God angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now come with me to Luke chapter 5, and I just want this One verse in the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 24. Just that one verse. Luke chapter 5 and verse 24. Notice what Luke teaches. He says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sin, he said unto the sick of the palsy." Now, this was a man that was paralyzed. Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go unto thine house." Jesus said unto this man that was paralyzed, "The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin." He said, "Get up and walk." And not just to walk, but take your couch with you. He had the power to forgive sin, the Son of Man. And as we look at these passages of scriptures this morning, I want to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we'll look at a few passages of scripture there concerning this divine connection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start around verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, "In all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed us, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Brothers and sisters and friends, this responsibility has been laid at the feet of the church. My responsibility is every opportunity that I have is to talk to someone about being reconciled back to God. This is your responsibility. The opportunity that we have, talk to people that have been separated from God, because that's what sin did. When Adam and Eve sinned, that separated us from God. And God had to send his only begotten Son into this world to shed his blood upon the cross for us, that we might be reconciled back to him. And so we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's our job. To help people to be reconciled back to God once again. The ministry of reconciliation. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ had to be heavenly and also earthly. He had to be both of those. And although he was really human, but truly he was divine. And we'll find that in the book of St. John. We'll look at St. John chapter 1. Look at a few passages of scripture there. St. John chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 1. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He said, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9 says that the true light, and that's what we want to take notice of, the true light. Just like we look for the true church, Just because a building has the name Church of Christ on it doesn't mean that it's the true church. And what we have to look at is the teaching. The teaching in that church, can we see what is being taught by comparing it to God's word? If we can't find God's word in that church, then get out of that church, because that's not the true church. The Bible speaks of the true church, that true light. Notice what it says, that verse 9, that said, that was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. You hear a lot of people say, well, you know, the name doesn't matter. The name does matter. God gave Jesus Christ a name that's above every name that is named. Here on earth and even in heaven, there's no greater name than the name Jesus Christ. If we know that, why wouldn't we want to wear the greatest name that has ever been named? Why would a person put on another name and say that, well, this is the true church, and it's not the right name? Why would you want to wear a name that's less than the name that has been named above every name that has been named? The Church of Christ. Why not wear that name? Notice what the Bible also says. It says that, verse 13 said, which were born, now notice something about Jesus here. Verse 13 says, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus didn't come from dust. He came from heaven. He didn't come from dust. Flesh and blood had nothing to do with this. Jesus came by the will of God. The Bible teaches us that it was God in Jesus reconciling us back to him while he was here on earth. And notice in verse 14, the Bible says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what Jesus had. That's the only thing he had, was grace and truth. Jesus didn't have a nice home the way we have, and automobiles and chariots to ride in. He tells us that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He said, a fox had holes, and the bird had nests. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head, but he was full of grace. And he was full of truth. And that's what he brought us. And we thank God for Jesus Christ. Let me just go on something here. We look at the book of Titus. The book of Titus teaches us something here. It teaches us about denying certain things. We want to take a look at the book of Titus. The book of Titus, chapter 2. In verses 11, see what the Bible teaches. Let's read the book, Titus chapter 2 and verses 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Notice what it does, this grace that has appeared to all men. Titus 2 and verses 11. It said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, this is what this grace teaches us. He says that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we look for. This is what this grace is teaching us. But one thing we can be assured of, if we don't have Christ, we have no hope. There is no hope in this life of going to heaven if we don't have Christ. We have to connect with this divine connection. if we want hope of going to heaven one day. The Bible says that's what this grace teaches us. It teaches us that we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what this grace teaches us, brothers and sisters. And once we make this divine connection, the Bible teaches us that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. People can lie on you. They can stab you in the back. But they can't hurt you if you live in the life of a Christian. So don't become skittish. Don't become weary in our well-doing. Just keep doing good and stay in connection with this divine connection, and we'll be all right, because there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. Then let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look at a few passages of Scripture there. Ephesians chapter 2. And we look at verse 11. And read down in a few scriptures here. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 teaches us something here. Notice what it teaches. It says, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12 said that at that time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Notice this, having no hope. When the Gentiles were without Christ, they didn't have any hope. Just like us today, if we're without Christ, there is no hope of us seeing God face in peace. There's no hope, brothers and sisters, if we are not in the right gate, which is the church. If we're not there, if we die on the outside of that gate, it's too late. It's too late then. We have to make sure that we are in the right gate, this divine connection. Notice what Ephesians teaches us. It tells us this morning, he says that we at one time were strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine living in this world without God? No help. No hope of ever going to heaven, living in this world. If we die in that state, we are men and women most miserable in this life. Not only in this life, but the life to come. If we live without God. Notice what the Bible teaches. It says in verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see what made us nigh? It's by the blood of Christ. We had to, in this divine connection, we had to connect with the blood. Now, how does God know us from billions of people in this world, his children, and those that are not his children? Because the blood that has been applied to our life when we were buried in the watery grave of baptism. We connected with the blood. And that's why people say, well, you can be saved before you're baptized. Then how are you going to connect with the blood? When God said there's blood in the water. How you going to get purified? How are you going to get the forgiveness of sin if you have not connected with the blood? That's why in the true church, when a person make that confession, we insist immediately that they are baptized. You hear some people say, well, you know, I've already been baptized. Were you baptized the same day? Everywhere you read in the scriptures, those that made that confession were baptized the same day. If we want to be in keeping what the Bible teaches, we have to insist that a person is baptized that same day to be in keeping what the Bible teaches. If that has not happened to you, then go back and do it right. Don't let pride set in. I had to go back. When I heard the gospel and I realized I hadn't done what the Bible taught me to do, oh, sure, pride set in for a little bit. I started thinking about, well, I've lived all of this life thinking that I was saved. You know, trying to fool people that I was a Christian. And I come to realize that I wasn't, because I hadn't done what God told me to do. I said, what are people going to think about me if I leave this church and go to the church of Christ? What are my brothers and sisters going to think? My aunt that raised me in this faith, what is she going to think about me? I was thinking all those things. What are my friends going to say? And I come to realize I got to face God for myself. They're not going to be around on the day of judgment. It didn't take me long to realize that I need to make that correction. It didn't take me long to do that. Some people are stubborn. And God has a way of getting our attention. Oh yeah, he knows how to get our attention. Does he have to stand on our neck sometime to get us to do that which is right? Some of us are hard-hearted. Notice something else on this divine connection. When we read the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, I want us to notice something here in these passages of Scripture. The book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, this is Peter preaching the first gospel sermon on that day. And they were sitting in the synagogue. They didn't come to get baptized that day. They were there to worship God, just like we came to worship God. And Peter preached one gospel sermon. And the Bible says that the people there were pricked in their hearts when they heard they just crucified the Lord and Savior. And they asked a question. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't tell them that, well, just come as you are. Come by the right hand of fellowship. You can change by your Christian experience. He didn't tell them that, did he? He said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says there were about 3,000 souls that day obeyed. Something else happened. The Bible says they found favor in that temple. And the Bible says that they were fellowshipping with one another. It says, and the Lord, in Acts 2 and 47, added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, you can't join the church of Christ. In this world out here, you have people say, well, go join the church of your choice. That's not in the Bible, brothers and sisters and friends. You can't join the church of Christ. God has to add you to the church. And he adds you when you take the steps that God say take. That's when he adds you. You can't join the church of Christ. You have to be added. I want us to notice something here. You see, Jesus Christ brought up this perfect plan of salvation from heaven in this divine connection. He told us to hear. He told us to believe. He said repent. Make the confession. And be baptized. He said, this is the perfect plan of salvation. Do that, and God will save you. But do you know that You can hear the wrong thing. You can do all those steps now. You can believe the wrong thing. You can repent the wrong things. You can make the wrong confession. You can have the wrong baptism, and you'll still be lost. You have some people say, I've done all those things. You tell me, what, have you heard the word of God? Yes. Have you believed? Yes. Have you repented? Yeah, I've repented. You can do all those things, but you do it the wrong way, and you're still lost. I'm going to show you some people here. Come with me to the book of Mark, and we'll see something here. The book of Mark, chapter 1. Let's take a look at book of Mark, chapter 1. We're going to look at some people here. We've come to the conclusion. Mark, chapter 1, and I start with verse 1. Notice what the book of Mark, chapter 1 says. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Notice something now. Verse 3 said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now people heard. The Bible says the voice that was crying in the wilderness. So they heard. Notice what it says. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness. So we see that people heard and they were baptized. Notice something else. For the remission of sins. Notice this, verse 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. Notice something else. Confessing their sins. They heard. They believed. They confessed their sins. All this happened. They repented. Under the preaching of John the Baptist. But what happened? When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, and was buried, and was resurrected, that baptism was no longer valid. It was no longer valid. You had some people that were still being baptized under the teaching of John. I want to show you something. Come with me to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And we're going to show you some disciples here. The book of Acts, chapter 19, and verse 1. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Notice something here. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now the Apostle Paul realized that these people were religious people. He called them disciples. And notice what he said. He struck up a conversation. He had a dialogue with them. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Now notice something. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now you knew they had messed up. They hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. They hadn't heard of it. Notice what Paul asked them. He says, in verse 3, he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Notice what Paul says. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. The Bible says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to go back into that water again. They had to go back. Had to go back and do it right. They were under the wrong teaching. And that's what we have to do when we find out that we've been under the wrong teaching. You know, the Apostle Paul had the full blast of the Holy Spirit. We only have a gift of it. And I thank God for the gift. We don't have the full blast. You have people say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, you're not. You can't raise the dead. You can't lay your hand on a sick person and heal a person. You can't do that. You can't be bitten by a poison snake and not die. You can't do that. Remember when the Apostle Paul was kindling wood to make a fire, and the Bible says that this venomous snake not only bit him, he latched onto his hand. Now, I don't know about some of you, but if a snake had latched onto my hand, not only would that snake be in trouble, but you around me would be in trouble too. Well, I got that snake off of me. The Bible said Paul just shook him off. And people looking for him to swell up and die. He didn't. Full of the Holy Ghost. You hear some people say, I love the Lord, but they won't obey him. You know what the Bible says about that? John 14 and 15, the Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm not going to go around and say a person is lying. If they say they love the Lord and they won't obey him, I'm not going to call these people liars. I just tell them what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we know that we love the Father. We keep his commandments. And you know something else? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. If we say that where you're worshiping is the right church, then prove it. Not to me, but look at the scriptures. See if you can find that church in the Bible. Then look at the teaching. If you say that multiple cups is fine, then show it to me in the Bible. If you say Sunday school is fine, show it to me in the Bible. If you say it's okay for a woman to preach, then show me that in the Bible. That's all. Prove it. Bible tells us to prove all things. You will say that you're saved? Prove it. Prove it that you've done everything that God said do. How he said to do it. But not to me, but by the Bible. See if you've done what the Bible teaches. That's how we know that we got the right connection. The divine connection. And let me just close with this. I want to look at the book of Isaiah. We close with these passages of scriptures. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And we'll close with these passages of scripture, verse 6. Isaiah says in 9 and verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us. He said, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. And Jesus is Wonderful. The name of Jesus. Isaiah points out five characteristics that shows us about the Messiah. First of all, he says his name shall be called Wonderful. He said Counselor. He's that great Counselor. He's the one that represents us in all things with perfect wisdom and knowledge. He is the great Counselor. The Bible says that the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Priests, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ came into this world because the Bible teaches us that sin is what separated us from God. And sin caused mankind to be hostile toward God. We were separated. And while we were separated, we were enemies of God. And Jesus came and he broke that barrier down and made peace between us and God. Why wouldn't you serve a God like that? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're here this morning and you realize that you have not made that divine connection, I would to God this morning, when the invitation song is presented, that you stand up and you make that confession. You say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. And say goodbye to Satan. Don't even say goodbye. Just leave. Don't say goodbye. Just leave. That's what I did. When I heard the gospel, I left that congregation so fast as I was at, you make your head swim. I came home from work one day, and on my recorder, the light was blinking, and I punched it, and this lady was on the telephone. She said, Brother Nelson, just want to know if you're going to contribute to the building fund. Have you ever heard of a building fund in the Church of Christ? I looked at that blinking light, I said, bloop, delete. And we ain't looked back since. That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters and friends. We got to make that divine connection. And the Bible teaches us that we are to hear God's word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing it, we are to believe it. St. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, if you don't believe that I am he said, you will die in your sins. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 21 of those same passage of scripture, Jesus says, and if you die in your sin, where I am, ye cannot come. So we have to hear God's word. We have to believe it. After we believe it, we must make we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to change our minds. The things that we have been taught, we read in the Bible that is wrong, we have to change that. We have to make that correction if we want to go to heaven. Then after repenting, we must make the good confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we must make that good confession. And after the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. This is where we connect with the blood of Christ to have our sin washed away. And there is no other way. This is the perfect plan of salvation that Jesus Christ brought to earth. That ladder that Jacob saw, making that divine connection. And then once we have been baptized and we walk in the newness of life, we stumble and fall, we are to repent. Make the confession, especially if we send a sin that's shamed the church. We are to ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might be restored back into the fellowship. And then if you just need prayer this morning, as we stand and sing the chosen song, we may make the good confession.